today's lesson, which is on fear. Now, if you've missed part one on fear, you have to listen to it. You're a little bit of a disadvantage because we've already covered some things already, but we want to go from fear, the tsunami of fear that's overtaking us, that's more powerful than any coronavirus or any election or any whatever, that fear, that debilitating fear, that anxiety, that worry that the enemy is using to grip us, to stifle us, to trip us, to hinder us, to really kill us, to imprison us, is just sweeping hearts and sweeping minds. And so I'm asking you, in Jesus' name, would you please go on the website, www.homefellowshipchurch.com, or Miss Neely is set up on our Facebook page. It's on there at Home Fellowship Church. You can go on Facebook and listen to last week's messages, Fear Part 1, or on our YouTube channel. And so I would encourage you to listen to that because so much of the groundwork was laid there. But we were in the book finishing up. We're talking about three scriptures. We talked about fear in general. Last week, I just have a couple of verses to finish up in Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. And then we're going to talk about the fear of God. And then we're going to talk about the fear of man. Now, Max Lucado, I don't know, how many of you are familiar with him as an author? Okay, good. So quite a few. Okay, Max Lucado said this about worldly fears, and I want to get it right, so I wrote it down. It says, the fear-filled person cannot love deeply because love is risky. They cannot give freely because benevolence has no guarantee of return. The fear-filled person cannot dream wildly because what if their dreams sputter? What if their dreams fall from the sky? And then he goes on to say, no wonder Jesus wages such a war against fear. And somebody had sent me this meme. Peggy had sent this to me. And it basically said this, and I really liked it. And it said that there's not enough room in your minds and in your hearts for both fear and faith to live there. And when I read that, I thought, that's so true. And it said, you must decide which one is going to live there. Which one is going to take up residence there in your heart, in your mind. Okay? They both want to come in. They both want to take over the household of your mind and of your heart. Isn't it true?
Yep.
Okay? They both want faith and fear are fighting for ownership right now in your minds and your hearts, whether you're at home watching with us or right here. That's the truth. And which one are you going to choose to have ownership of your mind? Are you going to take captive every thought, make it obedient to Christ? Are you going to trust in him regardless of your circumstances? That's a good question that I think we all need to ask ourselves. And I've also read that Jesus' most common command, it emerges from the fear not genre. And it actually appears over 125 times. Isn't that amazing? In the Gospels, 125 times. It lists Christ's imperatives about fear. And of that, there are 21 of them that urge us, okay, not to be afraid, not to fear, to have courage, to take heart. God's trying to communicate that something to us, right? 125 times he does that. Do you want to know what the second most repeated command is? You're going to be blown away by this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Guess how many times that appears? 8 times. Just to give you a comparison. So I think Jesus was trying to communicate to us, to his people, that I do not want you to be afraid. Now, not because things aren't going to happen to you or things are not going to go wrong around you, right? We all know that that's true, isn't it? But yet, we trust in the Lord. We take him at his word. Amen? And when you have that faith, when you have that trust in him, and that you have that personal relationship with him, man, that dispels the fear. But it's a daily battle in your minds, in your heart. Who's going to live there? Are you going to trust the Lord, or are you going to trust what you're seeing and hearing and thinking? You have to make that decision. I can't make it for you. I want to choose faith. And even when I stumble, God, will you please forgive me? I stumbled here. I got fearful. And I want to change that to faith. So open your Bibles and we'll just finish the last few verses in Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. And Mark, we haven't even begun our Bible study and you already want to make a comment? So you can. We need to get the microphone to him. So either Pastor Gary, a.k.a. The Flash, would you please bring that microphone to Mark Manley?
What I tell my kids and what I've told a lot of people is you cannot worry and pray at the same time. So it goes right with the fear and the faith. You have a choice. If you start to worry, replace that with a prayer.
Yeah. There's a, for those of you who missed out on most of it, we only have a couple of verses left. I think we stopped in verse 39. If you remember, Jesus had already done tons of miracles. He showed the disciples faith over power over demonic spirits and power over the word of God and the teachers. He showed them miraculous signs and wonders and all these things. And we went over so many scriptures that talked about the Lord loving us. I've got to fast forward a little bit here about the Lord loving us. All right, we think we left off right about here, and so when you go through these times and these trials, and you're having these anxieties and these worries, and they're gripping you, you know what I mean? And I don't mean they're just like we all will worry, right? But you know when it's taking over. I'm afraid to do this. I can't do that. I get that every day. I get that every Sunday. Every Sunday, can I be honest? Getting up here, talking to you guys, preparing the message. Scares the snot out of me. December can be very scary sometimes. So can Ezekiel. No. But it's a fear-filled thing. And now let me tell you, the enemy pours on the fear. He does. Like gasoline on a fire. That usually the day before. Usually on Saturday as I'm preparing, I am so overwhelmed. I'm thinking, I can't even show up. And yet, by faith, I take God at his word and say, you're going to do something here, God. You're going to speak to people because your word does not return void. I may be a knucklehead or I might not have it all together, but hey, you spoke through a donkey in the Old Testament. Remember that with Balaam? So if you can speak through a donkey, that kind of donkey, you can speak through this donkey, right? And that means he can speak through some of the donkey's ear. Or at home. How about at home? We're not talking about you guys. All of us. Now listen. So remember, God loves us. Nothing's going to change that. We can take him at his word. Nothing ever changes that love for you. If nothing good ever happens to you, ever again in your life, he's done enough by dying for you on the cross, shedding his blood for all your sins, past, present, and future, making a way for you to join him in heaven, adopting you as a son. If nothing else happens good from you after that, from that day that you got saved, he has done enough. Because that lasts through eternity, doesn't it? Amen? So we left off in Mark chapter 4, verses 39 and 40. And this is I'm going to read the first couple verses just to refresh our memories. And Lisa, would you double-check that AC's at 70? Or Elijah, one of the two of you, if you would do that. Okay, so starting in verse 35 of Mark chapter 4, I'll just read a few verses. It says, that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side, not under. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. And there were also other boats with him. And there was a furious squall. And again, you remember that in Greek? Megas, Lyapsis, or something like that off the top of my head. And as a huge storm, and it came up, and the winds and waves broke over the boat, and so it was nearly swamped. These experienced fishermen are freaking out, these seamen here. And in verse 38, it says, Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" They weren't questioning, remember, his authority or his ability or even his affection. They were questioning, "Does he care? Do you love me?" That's why you have to settle it now. And then in verse 39, where we left off, it says, he, being Jesus, it says that he got up and he rebuked the wind. And that word for rebuked in the Greek is epitomao. And that means that he straightly charged or he forbid it. So that almost makes me think like there was a demonic storm, because he used that same word, epitomao, you know, that same rebuke when he silenced the demon in Mark chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, or Mark chapter 9, verses 25, or even when he was talking to Peter, and Peter was saying, "You can't die on the cross," and this and that. And he said he rebuked Peter. You know, he said, "Be quiet. Get behind me, Satan." Remember that? That's the same word he used to rebuke the storm. So he's now rebuking it, just like he would that demon. "Be quiet, be still, take in charge over it." The wind, the waves, and he said, immediately, the wind had died down and it was completely calm. And listen to this, he said to his disciples, listen to this, I think it says, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Now, can I tell you something? When I first read that, when I was younger in the Lord, I'll just be honest, folks at home, folks here, this is what I thought Jesus was saying. I'm Italian. We grew up a little bit rougher. So I'm thinking he's saying, "What are you guys thinking? Are you stupid? Why do you still got no faith? Come on. You saw me do miracles, power over demons. I got the power over the word. Come on." When I was younger in the Lord, that's how I took it. Now that I'm slightly older, I don't think it was said sarcastically. I think it was said, "Why? Why are you so afraid?" I think his heart was breaking. I think it was full of love. And I think he was saying, because after all they'd seen and experienced, they truly didn't know him yet. I think he was like, "Guys, why are you so afraid?" I think his heart was breaking that they didn't know him, or didn't know him well enough, or they couldn't fathom his love or his power. And I think of that because look at verse 41 in your Bibles with me. It says they were terrified, or as the ESV translated, they were filled with great fear, or the King James Version says they feared exceedingly. You get the idea. And they asked, listen to this, "Who is this?" They'd walked with him all this time. They've heard him preach. They've watched the miracles. But now they're seeing a whole new part of who Jesus is for themselves personally. And they're saying, "Oh my gosh, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey his rebukes." And I think they came to know him a whole new way. And I'm convinced that if we come to know Jesus' love in that same way, if we come to know the fullest extent of his power, we'll trust in him, and we trust in him to the fullest extent, that it would change the world. We would change the world like we're supposed to be doing. If we come to understand his love for us, the power that he has, I think that would develop a trust and a relationship with him that would display more of his power to people around us, like we're supposed to be doing. No longer did these disciples fear. Remember, they're experienced seamen out in the water. No longer did they fear the wind and the waves and the boat swamping and them sinking to the bottom. And they were genuinely scared. No, when they realized, when they learned by experience, as they trusted in him, as they saw Jesus work in the storm, They learned more about who really had the power. And now they feared the Lord more than even this storm, more than the demons, more than the Pharisees, more than and sometimes people hear that, "Fear the Lord? What is that? This is the New Testament. Fear the Lord? Fear the Lord. Pastor Darren, are you telling us that we should fear the Lord?" That's exactly what I'm telling you. Now, Lester did a really good teaching on this some time back. But fearing the Lord, can that be a good thing? And the answer is yes. Turn in your Bibles to our second passage that we were going to go over. And Gary said I had to finish today because Pastor Paul Cowley is going to be here, so I can't make it into three parts. So if I start to go too long, at about the 45-minute mark, Gary, give me a... I'll kick it in. Then we're starting Malachi. All right? Or Malachi. So open to Psalm 111:10. Do you got that in your Bibles? Or on your iPads or iPods or your phones? Psalm 111:10. And if you don't have a Bible, I don't know. We used to have a bunch of Bibles up here. Oh, they're underneath the chairs? Okay. 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 All right. So, but Psalm 111:10 says this, and if you should underline it, okay, if you do that kind of thing, and I don't know if you do, but God's word says to us, it says here, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. See that, Psalm 111:10? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But that's not all it says if you have your Bibles open. That's why I want you to open your Bibles. I got this slide up, and I said, that's not what the psalm says. It is, but it's not all of it. Because it goes on to say, and all those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. Listen, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and all who practice it. So first off, you have to realize that in the Bible, there are different words for fear, okay? The word for fear in this verse in the Hebrew is the word yira in the Hebrew, okay? And it doesn't mean like if I were to go, rah, to my son Ezekiel and scare the snot out of him. That's not the kind of fear it's talking about. The kind of fear that it's talking about is, in Hebrew, is an awesome. And when I say awesome, I not mean like the surfer dude, totally awesome dude. I mean the real word, awe, like being in awe. When you're blown away by something, right? That kind of awesome. Does that make sense? So fearing the Lord, yirah in Hebrew, means to have an awe-inspiring, an awesome, an awe, reverential respect is basically what it means. And so when we look at the Lord God for who he is, and it's when we grow to understand more fully his love and his power and his wisdom and his majesty and his might, it's when we understand Yirah, how awesome he is, how amazing, how majestic he is, that all the other fears diminish, just like the disciples. When they saw God working and they could trust him in that in a new way, that's why our faith gets stretched each time. Here's what I want to do. I want to take my little faith just like it is, and let's just stay here. And God is like, no. I was going to say Pastor D, but he doesn't call me Pastor D. He just calls me Darren. So he says, I'm going to stretch you a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more so you can experience me more. You can trust in me more so that you come to know him personally by experience. See, I can tell you all a million times how awesome God is. I can. I can say, trust in the Lord, Brett, with all your heart, mind, and soul. I can say, you can give your life over to him and he'll do wonderful things. I can tell you, and I can mean it from my heart as much as possible. He can save your life, rescue it, put you on a new course. That's who God is. But you know what? Until you step out in faith and trust him, like the disciples did, you see and experience yourself, you're missing out on the boat. Does that make sense? Now, when those disciples got back in, I'm sure they were telling people about it, right? And I'm sure that there were some that were impressed with that. But let me tell you, the disciples that were in the boat, that experienced it, no one will take that away from him. Them. You know what I'm saying? Because they experienced God for themselves. And so, Charles Spurgeon said this. Do I have a slide? I think I do. Oh, I do. Good for me. Wait a minute. I have to pat my back. Okay, good. Charles Spurgeon said this, and I love it. He said, the fear of God, remember, the yirah, the awesome reverential respect, not scary boogeyman fear, the awesome reverential respect, the fear of God is the death of every other fear. Like a mighty lion, it chases all other fears away before it. That's what our God does. That's how the disciples, they could be nailed to a cross. They could be burned alive. They could be exiled. They could be put in prison. And even though it's a terrible thing, like Paul, they were still singing to the Lord. I'm sure that they were afraid, right? There were many times where God had to go and encourage Paul. But yet, because he feared the Lord more than these men, he would keep going back, keep preaching the gospel. That's what he wants you to do. Step out in faith. Trust him in his word. And watch him work. And all those other fears will slowly pass away. Listen, one of the prophets, Isaiah, you might have heard of him. Not Isaiah Thomas for the Detroit Pistons. This is Isaiah the prophet, and he was arguably one of the most influential prophets in the Old Testament, right? And he's out preaching. God has sent him on a mission to do something, and he's out preaching repentance to his own people in Israel. And he's saying, woe to you guys, and woe to you guys. You're being hypocrites. You're offering sacrifices that are blemished. You're doing this and that. Woe to you, woe to you, woe to you. And then when he stood in the presence of the Lord in his awesome reverential respect, here's this mighty man of God. He changed from woe to you, and he said this. He said, woe to me, I cried. I'm ruined. This is the prophet Isaiah now. They got a big book written. He says, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. See, that's what the fear of the Lord is. Does that make sense? It'll even turn your biggest self-righteousness into, oh my gosh, I have seen the Lord for myself. Hallelujah, praise God. Lord, whatever you want, you're going to get it through. You're going to get me through whatever. I trust you, Lord. Live or die, you got me. That's the fear of the Lord. That's yirah. Or just like the righteous man Job, okay? Who God himself, he called him blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil. When Satan was accusing him, that's what God said. And after going through all these trials, and maybe you're going through trials right now that you wish you weren't going through, and I get it. But when you trust in the Lord, all the more, when people go through trials, they do two things. They get bitter, angry, three things. Bitter or angry, you know, resentful of God, or they run away from God and his people and his word, or they run to it and they trust him and his word more. I want to encourage you to do that. Job even said this at the end of all this. He said, I had only heard about you before, but now, but God in the situation, but now I've seen you with my own eyes. And Job said, I take back everything I said, and I sit in dust and ashes. I just want to show you my repentance, Lord. If we're going to fear something in this life, let me encourage you to fear God. That's the bottom line. With that reverent respect and awe for who he is, when you begin to see the Lord lifted up high, you know, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe fills the temple, you know, and the angels are crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. You know, it's when you see the Lord like that, you know him, you see him for who he is, his power, his authority, just like the disciples did. That's when everything changes. That's when the fear of the Lord becomes for us the beginning of wisdom. And it becomes the beginning of wisdom for your salvation. Listen, the fear of the Lord, it says, is the beginning. That's the starting place. You don't fear the Lord, you're not going to give your life to him. You're not going to give your heart to him. He's just some nice teacher, blah, blah, blah. whatever, he's just some guy, another religion, you know, there's Hinduism, Buddhism, Muslim. Christian seems nice. No, when you know and see him for yourself with your own eyes, come to know him by experience, that's the starting place for salvation. That brings your heart to repentance. That's the starting place for the trials you're going through. Because when you fear the Lord, whatever's going on in your life, you know you can trust him. You know you can trust in his word. That's the starting place for godly character to forge you from the inside out. Each time you choose to trust him, each time you choose, and I can't make you do that, to trust in his word, God will do something in you, but you have to let him. He won't make you do it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of that wisdom. It's the beginning of your wisdom for you to hate evil and to do good and so much more. It's the beginning of the wisdom, or for you becoming wise in the Lord. Listen, that's the starting place, I would say. And it says this, and I love this, in that Psalm verse, it says, and all those who, what does your Bible say? Practice it. You know what? If you have that still open in your Bibles, underline that. All those who practice it. Or another translation says, who live their lives by it. Can I ask you a question? Do you actually live your life by that? In other words, here, you're coming to church in your youth group, but if you know what, your friends don't agree with you, are you still on it with the Lord, or are you like backing down a bit? What about your job, your boss, your spouse, your friends, your kids? Those who practice it, who live their lives by it, have a good understanding of God and are familiar with all his ways. That's what it takes. Here are just a few verses for you to take and to hide in your heart, okay? About fearing the Lord, that yirah, that reverential respect, okay? Proverbs 14:2, hear it now. The Bible says, whoever what? Fears the Lord. Say it again, whoever what? Fears the Lord. What will happen? They walk uprightly. But those who take the wrong path, you know what it says? They despise them. You don't fear the Lord? You're not going to go uprightly. You're not going to walk on the right path. You're going to go the wrong way. You're going to do the wrong things. It actually says, I hate to say this to you, you despise the Lord. You're either for him or against him. I'm sorry if it's whoever it is in your life, that's what the Bible says. Listen to this. Proverbs 8:13 says this. If anyone respects, this is in the Living Bible. I like how it said it. It says, if anyone respects and what? Fears God, he will hate evil. Do you hate evil? The more you fear God, the more you're going to hate evil. You're not going to hate people, but you're going to hate evil. For wisdom hates pride, arrogance, corruption, and deceit of every kind. Listen to this one. I love this one. This is Proverbs 14:16. It says, a wise man does what, guys? Fears the Lord. Say it with me. A wise man what? Fears the Lord. And that means you're going to shun evil. You're going to say, no, I don't want to be a part of that. I don't want to do that. A wise man will fear the Lord, and he shuns evil. And it says, a fool plunges ahead with reckless confidence. I love this last verse. This is in Proverbs 14:26. And this is cool because it says, for you who fear the Lord, even your children will be blessed, be it your spiritual children or your physical children. Listen, this is important stuff. You're going to have people coming up behind you. Listen, it says this in Proverbs 14:26, whoever fears the Lord has a what? Secure fortress, and for their children, it will be a refuge. Wow. I don't know about you. I want that. I want that for me. Can I tell you something? I really would. If I could make the decision for some of you, and some of you watching at home, or some of them are going to be watching later on YouTube, I would make that decision for you. If I could write a check right now, say, Hannah, here's $1 million. If you'll trust in the Lord, I would do it. But can I tell you what? I can't. You have to make that decision in each situation, each salvation, through trials, through tribulations. You have to do it. Fear the Lord. It's the beginning. Those who practice it know the Lord. They know the Lord. They understand his ways. They see he's a refuge. He's an ever-present help in times of trouble. And even for their children, it will be a refuge. It'll provide safety, security in the long run. That's what God is saying. Now, this is really cool. In fact, God's word says this, and hear me now. This is one of my favorite verses, and I love this slide. I did make it, not picture itself, but it says this, and I love this slide. It says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. And if that weren't enough, and he delivers them. That word, the angel of the Lord encamps, that word in Hebrew is chana. And that means literally to camp in tents or to dwell with. Or literally, in an attacking way, it would mean to siege, to lay siege to, like if you were trying to overtake the enemy's fortress, right? You would camp around it and then, you know, starve them out, fight them out. That's what it means in an attacking way. In a defending way, it means just what it says, to encamp around. Or even the New Living Translation says to be a guard around those who fear him. The angel of the Lord. In the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord took out, what was it? 185,000? If you remember the Old Testament, 185,000 troops that came against God's people in Sennacherib. Sennacherib. Easy for me to say. When he attacked King Hezekiah, an angel of the Lord wiped out 185,000 troops. So God is saying the angel of the Lord is going to encamp around you to protect you, and he's going to deliver you through this. That's his promise, if you'll fear the Lord. Is that not a great deal? To me, that's beautiful. That's an awesome picture of reverent respect of the Lord. The angel of the Lord is going to do that. That's his promise. If you're a God-fearing man or woman, I can't even get over what that says. And listen, a lot of times people come up to me and say, Pastor Darren, I want to learn to hear the Lord better. I want to be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit or whatever. And I would say to you, do you really want to hear the voice of the Lord better? Do you know he speaks? Some of you shake your head, yes, yes, yes. Some of you aren't sure. But he does speak. Do you want to hear him better? Do you really want to hear him better? Is it really important to you? You have to make that decision. Listen to what it says. I love this verse in Psalm 25. If you really want that, here's what you need to do in your hearts. For those of you who have ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is trying to say, in Psalm 25, verse 12, it says, who then are those who fear the Lord? He will instruct them in the ways they should choose. That's saying that God will instruct you if you fear him. If you have that the king of the universe is saying, listen, Teresa, if you'll fear me, I'm going to be your tutor. I'm going to be your teacher if you will give me that reverential respect. I'm going to impart things. The king of all the universe is going to give to you. That should blow your mind. And not only that, listen, if that were enough, but wait, Pastor Darren, that's not all. There's more? There is more. Ginsu knives. No. It also says this, and in verse 14 of Psalm 25, it says, and I love this, it says, the Lord confides in those who fear him. When you confide in somebody, what does that mean? Can I ask you? What does it mean? Okay. Tell them your secrets. Is that right? Yeah. Agreed. Well, so God is telling you and me in Hebrew, that word confides is pronounced sod in Hebrew. Sod. And it says this, and it means to counsel, to share secrets with, to have familiar conversations with, to have intimacy with. God is saying, the Lord is saying to you, I'm going to confide. I'm going to give you that intimate conversation, that share my secrets with, counsel you. Those who what? Wow. That should just stir you up to love and good deeds and choices in your life that make that happen. If you really want to know him better, that's what it takes. Have that reverential awe of him. It's key. And I don't know about you, but that's what I want. I want personally. And listen, if you're looking at me at home, zoom in that camera on me, Jay, because I want them to hear and see on my face. If you want the King of the universe to speak to you, to teach you, to instruct you, if that's really your heart, if you really want to learn from him, if you want him to share secrets, to share intimate counsel, to share with you how to do things in your life or how you can share with others, then you need to fear the Lord. Sod. He's going to confide in you. He's going to share secrets with you. Wow. Those who fear him. And he makes his covenant known to them. That's God's promise to you. Well, it doesn't get any better than this. How long have I been teaching, Gary? Got plenty of time?
Right at 45.
Already. Okay. All right. So I'm going to tell you a little bit of little story here, just real quickly, if I can. I'm going to skip some stuff, but I'm going to tell you a little story. And this happened many years ago. Okay. I was in Tampa, in the streets of Ybor City, okay, on Halloween, okay. And if you guys don't know anything about Tampa or Ybor City at night, on the weekends, on Halloween, it's a party spot. It's clubs, it's, you know, drink, drugs, revelry, you know, that's what it is, just for those of you who are unaware. And what we were doing is we were witnessing for Jesus. We were handing out tracts on the streets about Jesus, okay, on Halloween. And I remember this one guy specifically I handed a track to, and he took my track. I honestly think he took my track because he thought it was a 2-for-1 drink coupon. But you know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Like, yeah, give us all take it. And I tried talking to him about, you know, how awesome our God was, how, you know, the fear of the Lord, how awesome he is. And he loudly explained to me, yeah, I don't have nothing to worry about. I don't have to worry about nothing. It's a big old guy. I don't have nothing. He's like, and Jesus didn't care what he did. It's okay. Yeah, me and Jesus were tight. And as I remember it, he pointed to his t-shirt that actually said this. He said, Jesus is my homeboy. And then he says, I'm good. Me and him, we're good. Woo! Part. Woo! And went down, crumpled, you know. Can I just be honest? Listen, God loves you, and he cares about you. And he is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Okay? Can I tell you something? He's also the creator of the universe, and he holds all life in your hand, his hands. He is not your homeboy. Do you know what I'm saying? He is not your bro in that respect. He is not your equal. He is the king of all creation, and there will be a day of judgment, and you better make sure that you're right with him. That's no lie. You do what you want with that. You don't have to listen to me. Who is this guy? We got a hand up and back, if you could bring the microphone back there. That's okay. You know what? We'll make do. I've already got some stuff I'm skipping ahead on, so yeah.
Just real quick, you know, yeah, sharing please. About Ybor City and the party street over there. When I was younger, I was one of those, and this was on Bourbon Street in Louisiana. And I was drunk, and in this group of tons of people, there was this man on the corner of one of the streets holding up a sign, doing the same thing you were doing. And I remember looking back, and he was looking dead straight at me. I could see his face in my head. And that has been with me for years. I did not become a Christian then. But that was a little seed that he didn't even say anything to me. He just being there holding up signs to repent.
Yes.
You know, just that this man, Lord willing. Anyway, that, you know, if you guys go out there, just encourage you. You know,
yes,
maybe you won't see results immediately. But for me, it was years later. But that little seed, you know, accompanied
yes
with all the other seeds from, you know, as time passed, different things. Anyway, I know you're crunching for time.
You're just, okay. You know. You're okay. That's great. I'm actually very glad you shared that. We do that here. Michelle Barr, can you double check the AC, please? Thank you. Arguably Solomon, other than Jesus, the wisest man that ever lived and one of the richest men that ever lived, okay, historically, okay? This was his, at the end of Ecclesiastes, at the end of his life, he'd actually backslid, went the wrong way, started off great, backslid, did everything he possibly could. And I won't even get into what he did. You can read it for yourself in Ecclesiastes. And it says this, at the end of his life, this is basically what he came up with. He explored everything. And he said, you want to know what it all comes down to? What does it come down to? Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. And here's why. It says in the next verse, in Ecclesiastes 12:13, that God will judge us for everything we do and every secret thing, whether good or bad. Now listen, I've done some secret things bad. You know what? I have a Savior because I fear the Lord and I put my trust and hope in Him and I follow Him. He's washed everything clean, past, present, and future, and He's willing to do the same for you. And He's willing to do the same for you. Pastor D, this is all Old Testament stuff. We live in the New Testament and we don't need to fear the Lord now. It's just love. Jesus is my homeboy. I can do whatever I want. Woo-hoo-hoo! No. Listen, it says even in the book of Acts 9:31, it says, and the church throughout Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace, and it was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, and it grew in numbers, and that they were what?
Living
in the what?
Fear of the Lord.
That reverent, awesome respect. Hey, the big guy in the sky. Yeah. You're talking about the guy who holds your life in his hand. With the word from his mouth, not even everything is released. Now, there's a lot of fears. People have a lot of fears, and people fear a lot of things for the most part. A study into Discovery Health on fears stated that 57%, okay, of the people in the United States fear the IRS. And, you know, guess how many people fear the Lord? 30%. And I even wonder if that's true. That means that most of the people in the U.S. are really more concerned of what man thinks about them than what God thinks of them. Isn't that true? Yes, or what man can do to them. Amen. Listen, now there's a lot of fears, okay? And I looked on the internet for top fears, and there was many listed. But here are a few, and they're not ranked in any order, but these are the top spots, okay? Just real quickly, okay? Here's one of the top. Aerophobia, that's the fear of flying. Anybody have that? Okay, a few of us. I don't like the takeoff and the landing.
Yeah.
But other than that, I'm pretty good with it. But some people are paralyzed by that fear. Claustrophobia. That's the fear of tight spaces. Anybody have a struggle with that? Yep, okay. Fear of tight spaces, a couple of you, yeah. Man, getting in an elevator or a small confined area freaks you out, right? There's acrophobia. Fear of heights. Oh, I saw a whole bunch of hands. Wow, okay, yep. Why is your hand not up, sir? I know you have a fear of heights. Okay, well, anyway. Acrophobia, anybody? A couple of fear of spiders, right? I kind of like them. That doesn't bother me. I'm really pretty good with all these until we get to here. Until we get to here, Daryl. This is where I mess up. Sociophobia. Do you know what that is? Fear of people, fear of social situations, not knowing the right thing to say, the right thing to do. Oh, I just want to just be home and it's safe there. And I can... But that's not what God has me to do. Yeah, that's another one. But the sociophobia, what we could call, I guess, for us, you know, fear of being judged, rejected, humiliated, whatever you want to say, excluded. That's basically the fear of man, which brings us basically to our last one, which I'm going to wrap up quickly, is the fear of man. Turn your Bibles really quickly, and we'll close with this little bit, with Proverbs 29:25, and I'm going to make it super, super quick, because this is a big one. A lot of people fear man more than they do, fear people more than they do the Lord. So Proverbs 29:25, you should highlight it or underline your verse if it does that thing, if you do that kind of thing. But it says this, but I want you to turn there because it's important. It says, the fear of man will prove to be a snare, or some of your translations will say a trap. But whoever trusts in the Lord will be kept safe. The word for snare in Hebrew is mokesh, and that literally means a trap, or more literally, a hook in the nose. You heard that? It literally means the fear of man is a snare. A hook in the nose is what it literally means. And back in the old days, when the enemy forces invaded your country, I'll wait on that slide. When they invaded your country, they would take you over. What they would do, they would capture you and they would make you a slave. They would put a hook in your lip or in your nose and they would take you off captive. And if you've ever had something in your nose, I did this illustration about a decade ago, and there's this big guy, Paulie. He came up, he was all muscly. I said, "Oh, come up here, son." Son, he was older than me, actually, now that I think about it. Anyway, looking back. Anyway, so he came up. He was all, I said, I want you just to, you know, I want you to stand firm. Just don't move, okay? Just stand there. And I said, I'm going to just show you something. I'm going to take my pinky, and I'm going to move you. I said, are you okay with that? He's like, yes. Yeah. So it was a big stage with a lot of people. He's like, oh, I'll do it. Okay. And I just brought, took my little pinky, put it right up here to his nose, like this. And I just went, boop. And he's like, oh, and he went back like that. All I did, because the nose is very sensitive. The fear of man is a snare. It's a hook in the nose to you. When you're more concerned about what your friends think or what other people think than what God thinks, it's a hook in the nose. Let me tell you, it can go, the enemy will take you, how, wherever. The enemy has got free rein to lead you wherever he wants to go. That's what it is. The fear of man is that hook in the nose. I never want you to forget it. Listen, this is a relief. If you guys like archaeology, I was going to do a whole bunch of cool stuff with this, but I'll just say it quickly. This is a relief it's in now modern day Iraq. It's in the Nineveh province, but it says in 2 Chronicles 33:10-11. Just so you know, there's historical records of these Assyrian kings fighting Judah and mentioning Manasseh, mentioning Hezekiah, not just from Israel's side, biblical side, proving that the Bible's true, but also from their side, the Assyrian side. I've seen it for myself. I've actually touched it. I shouldn't have touched it. It was at a museum, but I did. So anyway, it says, the Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they paid no attention. So God was trying to speak. Manasseh was the king at the time of God's people, Hezekiah's son. It says, so the Lord brought against them the army commanders of the king of Assyria, who took Manasseh prisoner and put a what? Hook in his nose, bound him with bronze shackles, and took him to Babylon. That's what the fear of man will do to you. They would also gouge out their eyes. That's another sad thing. That's what the fear of man will do to you. It's a sad thing. It's a scary thing. But if you will allow it, if you fear men or what other people think of you more than what you think, what God will say to you, that's you'll never be stable. You'll be led around here and there. You have to get to the point where you trust in the Lord. I'm going to fear God more than I fear what anybody says to me. Listen, I'm going to give you something. You see this scripture verse right here? It says, I tell you, my friends, this is in Luke. This is Jesus saying, I tell you, my friends, don't be afraid of those who can kill the body And after that, do no more. But I will show you whom to fear. Fear him who, after killing the body, has the power to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, you fear him. Don't worry so much about what others say or think about you. I get it. We all deal with it. Isn't it true? I deal with it too. I want you to like me. I do. Every one of you. Every one of you at home, I want you to like me. But what I'm not willing to do is to compromise the Lord or compromise the truth for that to happen. Not in a haughty way or a snotty way, but in a humble way. Because I fear the Lord more than I fear you. Does that make sense? And that's how we all need to be. Listen. And yes, Gary, I am wrapping it up. The fear of man will prove to be a snare, a trap for you, a hook in the nose. You're going to find yourself lying, compromising, cheating, all to please somebody, instead of just fearing the Lord and what you're supposed to do. We come to know the fear of the Lord as the beginning of wisdom, like Isaiah, like Job, like all the disciples in Acts, you know. And when we come to love the Lord that surpasses all understanding, like the disciples did, right? That we love the Lord and we fear the Lord, we have both those things, and we will come to trust the Lord. And then we'll say, like it does in Psalm 56:11, when we have that love, we know God loves us, and we have that fear of that reverential awe, that respect, we'll trust in him. And we'll say, in God I trust. And I love this slide. If you know it, she's going, where is she running?
To the Word.
Right to the Word. Isn't that interesting? Not two words on a page, you understand, to the King of the Universe's commands. Because when you're in trouble, you do the same. You run to the Word of God. You run to the King who loves you. You run, you fear the Lord. In God I trust. I will not be afraid, because what can man do to me? Nothing compared to the power of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Now hear it and believe it. If you don't, your life will never change. My life won't. And God doesn't want that for you. Does that make sense, guys? He loves you. Let him confide in you. Let's pray. Father, we just want to say thank you, Lord, for helping to give us through this part one and part two a better understanding about fear in general, about the fear of man, and then also about fearing you. Lord, I just ask humbly, Lord, I pray for all of our friends here at home watching us on TV. Lord, I love them so much. I pray that they would make decisions to choose to fear the Lord and to put it into practice so that they can come to know you and understand you in ways they never knew before. They would come to understand that you would confide in them and instruct them in ways and your methods and in ways that they never knew. I pray for every person here, Lord God, that they would have that awe, that reverential respect for you, Lord God, that would go beyond words, that would reach the deepest, most intimate areas of their heart and soul, Lord God, that they would do what's right in your eyes no matter what. And if they stumble, if they fall, even if they mess up, they would just come back to you and say, oh God, please forgive me. Lord, help me to reset my priorities. I haven't been fearing you like I should. I haven't been giving you that reverential awe. I haven't been in awe of your word, trusting in your word like that. But I want it, Lord. You know I'm weak, but you can make me strong. Lord, will you confide in me? Will you instruct me? Help me to give you that reverential awe, that yirah. Help me to fear you in that way, in that reverential, respectful way, Lord God, because you love me and you're worthy of that, Lord God. Help me to truly be child that hears your voice and obeys your commands, not afraid of what other men say or other women. Lord, we ask for this blessing for this body here today, personally, and everyone listening at home, Lord God, for that to happen. I thank you for each person here, Lord God. We yirah you, Lord God, and we love you, Lord God. In Jesus Christ's name, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you at home too, folks.